College graduation season is here. Where are grads going? Are they finding jobs in South Florida? Are they pursuing further education? Welcome to Sundial for a special broadcast from Florida International University. Today, we're dedicating the full program to the question on the minds of thousands of recent graduates here in South Florida. What is my next step? We've assembled a panel of recent graduates and faculty at FIU to share their stories and advice. You'll meet an aspiring doctor, theater tech, radio producer, and environmental scientist. Some of them are staying home. Others are pursuing their dreams elsewhere. We'll explore what professions have the best opportunities and when it's time to pursue further education. And we want to hear from you. Are you a recent graduate? Or maybe you have a child who is? All of that coming up today on Sundial. First, the news. Hello and welcome to this special edition of Sundial on WLRN. We are live from the Graham Center on the main campus of Florida International University. And today, we're talking with a group of recent graduates, with some staff, and we have some students in our audience. And we're asking the big question. This is graduation. What comes next? What happens now? Well, some people will continue their education and go into grad school and other training. Some are heading into the job market. Some will be staying in South Florida to try to build their lives here. And others, well, they're leaving. They got to go somewhere else because their dreams are going to be elsewhere. Some have student loans. We know what that's like. Some don't. Lucky you if you don't. So we're asking the big question again today. You have finished this phase of your life. What is next? How do you feel about it? I want to introduce you to a panel that we have joining us today. These, again, are graduates who just finally did the walk, and they are ready for that next step. We have Joseph Burns, Joe Burns. He graduated with a degree in medicine from FIU. He's leaving South Florida for a residency in pediatrics at the Cohen Children's Medical School in Queens, New York. Joe, great to have you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Also joining us, Olga Betancourt. Olga's mother recently received her master's in journalism from FIU. She's a part-time producer of two Spanish-language radio shows and now jumping out into that workforce. Olga, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Also, Adrian Figueroa recently got his bachelor's in environmental science at FIU. He's staying at FIU, and he's pursuing his PhD in earth sciences. Adrian, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And finally, Priya Williams. She got a bachelor of fine arts from FIU. She's pursuing a master's in technical direction at Cal Arts in Valencia, California, going from one coast to the other. Priya, welcome.
Pleasure.
Also joining us here is Dr. Elizabeth Behar. She's the Vice Provost for Academic Affairs. Dr. Behar, thank you.
Thank you.
And John Nicolasian, he's the Director of Business Career Management at FIU's Business School. Mr. Nicolasian, I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And I want to invite the audience, by the way, here in studio with, or I should say here at the Graham Center with us. If you have questions or comments, you can prepare them, and we're going to bring you over to a microphone because we'd love to hear from you. Also, if you're listening in right now, you can call in 866-247-9576. If you just graduated, you're a parent of a recent graduate, what's going to happen now? What's the next step in your life? Are you still thinking about grad school? Or maybe it's like, nope, time to get out into the workforce. You can also find us on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. To the graduates, first of all, congratulations.
Thank
Fantastic.
You.
No, definitely give them a round of applause. Come on. You put in the time. You know what, Olga, let me start with you. You are not the traditional student.
Exactly.
You know, you came back to school. You're a mom. You had a career. You decided I'm going in a different direction.
Totally.
Why?
I always wanted to be a journalist. But I got married like really young, and my ex-husband told me like, no, I don't want for you to pursue that career, and he stabbed me for doing it. I was only 19, so I went to business, and I graduated from business, and I started working in telecommunications, and it was nice, but I always had that pending in my life. I always wanted to accomplish and go back to school and do the, you know, being a journalist. So 2 years ago, my daughter graduated from high school, and she's like, let's start together. And so you know,
you don't have that often when
exactly.
the parent and the child can go to college
same
together.
Day, same day. So we came, we did everything together, and we started. I graduated like last week, but she needs to go two more years. So
I don't think I'd want to go to school with my parents. That's okay. That's me. Joe, you have a fascinating story why you got into medicine, because there's a lot of commitment into this, but this is personal for you.
Yeah, this has been a lifelong journey. I was born prematurely in Orlando, Florida, with a congenital heart disease called bicuspid aortic valve. So the heart has four chambers, right? The right side pumps to the lungs and the left side pumps to the body. There's one valve that separates the left ventricle, which is the biggest pumping chamber, which pumps to the body, to the aorta, the body's largest blood vessel, called the aortic valve, right? So typically that valve looks like a Mercedes sign with three cusps. For me, two of those were stuck together. So you can imagine the stress that causes on the left ventricle to have to pump through that much more resistance. However, I'm extremely fortunate that on the spectrum of cardiovascular disease, particularly of young people, this is a very, very mild condition. However, that did require that I see a pediatric cardiologist on a regular basis, running on treadmills with electrodes and having ultrasounds of my heart every 6 months, which is a bit of a different experience for a young person than a lot of others may have.
But when did you decide, okay, I want to do this?
To be honest, I can't put a finger on it, but from the earliest career days in elementary school, I remember dressing up as a pediatric cardiologist. I was never just a doctor. It was always a pediatric cardiologist, and luckily that's rung true to this day as I take the next steps in my training as a pediatrician at Cohen Children's Medical Center.
Apriya, you're going into theater. What inspired that? Why?
Well, I hadn't always been into theater because I grew up on an island and there's no industry for theater. But when I visited New York, I saw a performance of Cirque du Soleil. And if any of you have ever seen it, it's mind blowing. So just sitting there, I remember just being mind blown and thinking, I would love to be able to do this. And I went to college for architecture, but I guess a part of me always knew that this wasn't fully what I wanted to do. So eventually I found my way asking questions, and then I ended up getting into theater, and it's been a really good decision.
And you know what? I've seen quite a few of those Cirque du Soleil shows. Did you know specifically what you wanted to do?
No, I didn't. I did not, because when you're not into theater, you don't know all of the areas in theater. So I really had no idea which part I wanted to be in, but I knew I wanted to be a part of performance arts. So once I got into it and started working in scene shops, I realized, okay, I really enjoy scenic design. I enjoy creating this world. And recently I've been realizing that I like actually building the sets and putting in all that work, which is why I'm gravitating towards technical direction now.
Adrian, Earth Science. I'd read that you grew up and Steve Irwin was one of your heroes.
Yeah. So basically growing up, it was my two brothers and myself and my parents, and they would always just put Steve Irwin on TV. So like we would all just like gather together in my parents' room and we'll just watch Steve Irwin. But basically growing up, as we would go camping throughout Florida, I just found myself being outside like all the time, and like it really just inspired me to just like ask questions like, why do I see these plants growing together? Like, why do I see these animals interacting this way? And it basically just, it helped uncover this sense of curiosity that I had that has just never died down. Yeah.
Well, first of all, congratulations on that. And yes, I was a fan of his too. So I do miss him. Mr. Nicolasian, I know all of these folks up here, they know what the next step of their lives are. You have to prepare. You can't get to this point and then what? You kind of have to know.
You have to, at some point, you have to, anywhere in the job search, or when we talk about when students start that piece of the job search or the career education piece, it really starts with the simple question, which is, what do you want to be when you grow up? And that's the beauty of college, is that there are no rules or limits or limitations. It's really what you limit yourself to. And we start our counseling sessions, or I'll start a counseling session with a student, and I'll say, you know, I have three questions. What do you want to be when you grow up? Where do you want to do it? And who do you want to do it for? Those are the three. If you can start on that path and down that road, you're going to work your dream or live your dream.
How many students come to you and they know they can answer all those questions? No, you're laughing. Okay.
Yeah.
That tells me everything.
Yeah, there's the answer.
And again, we want to hear from you. If you know, what's the next plan for you? If you've just graduated, you've probably been thinking about it. Share with us how you came to that decision and what is that next step for you. Again, maybe you're a parent and your kid is trying to figure out what to do next. We'd love to hear your story. You can call in 866-247-9576. That's 866-247-9576. Find us on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. Post your questions there. We're also Facebook Live right now, so you can find us at WLRN, and you can post a question there. We'd love to hear from you. We want to share those with our panelists and see what they have to say. Dr. Behar, how do we go about advising people about that next step if they want to go to graduate school? Some people here are going to continue school. Just as a personal story, when I finished school many, many, many years ago, I brought it up to an advisor. Their response to me was, "You're just holding off the inevitable. Go out and get a job." That's what they told me. But what do you tell students?
We tell them a variety of things, and it really depends on the discipline. And these four students that we have with us today are emblematic of the breadth of experiences and disciplines that we have at FIU. So really, when we talk about graduate school, we're really going to have a conversation about fast forward 5 to 10 years. What is that graduate degree going to be able to provide for you in your career and your professional development? In some disciplines, it's absolutely appropriate to have some work experience, some practical experience in the field before you go to graduate school. And in other disciplines, a straight path is actually the most efficient and effective path to a long and steady career.
Do you tell people, though? Will you tell them, like my advisor told me, no, go get a job?
We will guide students. The learner needs to be comfortable with the answer. At the end of the day, it's going to be their path. They need to be comfortable, so we want to give them as much information as possible.
Adrian, for you, I mean, you're going to continue school. You got a lot more school coming up. You told me, what, another 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, so it's going to be at least like another 4 or 5 years, yeah. But basically, like, my path, it really hasn't been straight. Like, I changed majors a couple of times when I was early on in college, and I didn't know what it was that I wanted to do. I wanted to be like outdoors. I wanted to help the environment, and using my curiosity, like, I really wanted to help address some of these issues that Steve Irwin brought up. But basically, that's led me to where I'm at today, and I really want to pursue a graduate education where I could then help develop my skill set so that I could be more fit for that role.
And you know, you told me you're going to take this summer to just let loose and relax because you got a lot of school left.
Yeah, I ended up getting an internship with the South Florida Water Management District as working with their invasive plant management crew. And I'm going to be camping up there in Central Florida. So for me, that's kind of like relaxing. But I'm still going to be reading up on the latest literature in like plant biology and stuff like that. So for me, that's relaxation.
Joe, we were talking about for you, it's you're doing a residency. How long do you have to do that before you can go out into practice?
Correct. So residency for me will last 3 years in pediatrics. After those 3 years, I will be board certified as a general pediatrician. However, as previously stated, my aim is to pursue pediatric cardiology, so there will be another 3-year fellowship after that, so another 6 from now.
And you know what, Priya, you're going off to school in California. How much more time do you have to spend in school?
That's 3 years.
3 more years.
Yep.
You don't sound excited.
I am excited. Well, 3 years is a long time.
How did you pick that school, by the way? You're going all the way to the other side of the country.
I know. There are not a lot of master's programs for technical direction, so I was choosing from a very small pool. And I also got into Carnegie Mellon, but when I was looking for a school, I looked for somewhere that I felt comfortable and that fit my personality. And there's also always been a part of me that has wanted to move to California, so that just felt right. And my interactions with like the people there, it just felt right.
You've been to California, so you know what's coming.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of.
All right. It's different from Florida, that's for sure.
I've heard.
Again, we are broadcasting today Sundial at FIU's main campus in Miami, and you've been hearing from Dr. Elizabeth Behar, Senior Vice President of Academic and Student Affairs, John Nicolasian, Director for Business Career Management, and our recent graduates joining us, Joseph Burns, Olga Betancourt, Adrian Figueroa, and Priya Williams. And we're talking again to this panel of graduates, and we're asking them about what that next step is. We're asking them how they came to that decision, and we'd love to hear from you, and we're going to take any questions. If you guys in the audience, if you have some questions, go ahead and prepare them and set them up with, you can raise your hand, we'll come and get you, bring you over to the microphone, because we'd love to hear from you. And if you're listening in right now, you can always call us at 866-247-9576, or post your comment or question on Twitter or Facebook at WLRN Sundial. I wanted to come back to this idea of staying or leaving. And, you know, we kind of chatted about this before the program, but if you've lived in Florida long enough, and I know when I was graduating, I thought about this too, I got to get out of here. But my line of work has taken me to a lot of places. So I wondered, you know, for you, was it an easy decision, or is it just because of what you're doing, there was nowhere else you could go, you had to leave? I mean, Joe, again, you're going to a specific place for your training, for your residency.
Correct.
Did you have any other options? Did you ever think, I want to stay here, or maybe you didn't?
No, absolutely. As I was applying to residency programs, I applied to a healthy percentage in the state of Florida. But for me, it was more about getting a diverse perspective and learning and living in a city that would push me both professionally and personally. And surely New York City is the place to do that. Mm. But I think there's a lot of truth in what you said about your own experiences as well, and that being in a different city, being surrounded by different people who've all trained in different institutions, offers a real diversity of perspective and a diverse learning environment that can surely push you in a lot of different ways. And just collecting those perspectives, I think, really helps build your own portfolio as a young professional.
Dr. Behar, I asked you this earlier. I mean, we always hear the brain drain, smart, talented people leaving. You know, isn't that bad for the community?
It can be. In our case, it's not necessarily, the situation. We have 80% of our graduates at FIU remain in the state of Florida, if not, you know, the majority in the major metropolitan area. They do remain committed to the state of Florida. So we're not experiencing that brain drain that other universities and other communities experience at scale. There are certainly the examples that were provided here earlier are exemplar of finding that appropriate experience and finding that niche. And hopefully they will both be successful, and then they will come back, right?
You know what? Let me look at the audience real quickly for students. Just to raise a hand. How many people want to leave? Just a few. I got a few. You want to leave. I want to hear from you why, though. Somebody come up. I want to hear from you. Why do you want to leave? Why don't you want to stay? How many people want to stay? Okay. It's about the same. All right. But seriously, if you've got anybody, I'd love to hear from you. Somebody who wants to leave, I want you to come up to the mic because I want to hear from you as to why. Go ahead. Come on up. I want to hear from you as to why you want to leave South Florida. And while they're doing that, Mr. Nicolasian, the other thing too is this. Is it just that South Florida doesn't have a lot of opportunities? Is it just that there's not a lot going on here?
No, I think that's I think that's probably the furthest from the truth. I think there are a lot of opportunities here. I think that there are challenges in the hiring process.
Yes.
And I think that this is just not a South Florida scenario. It's probably a nationwide scenario when you look at it and you look at the conversations that recruiters are having with students at major hiring events. So I don't believe that it's just a South Florida thing. I think that there are challenges on the business side for companies to hire people, and it's, they're probably just getting in their own way.
Yeah. All right, let's come over here to some of the students. Just come up, tell us your full name and what year you are.
Hi, yes, my name is Yanis Bavilori. I'm actually a graduate student. I'm studying for my master's in social work.
Okay, and you want to leave.
Yes, I do want to leave eventually. I'm looking to graduate in December, and since 2020 is an election year, what I really want to do with social work is like human rights and advocacy work and like social justice work. So I definitely want to stay in 2020 and like help mobilize like underprivileged communities to vote and just play a role in the politics in Florida in 2020, because it's going to be such a huge election year. But after that, I do want to leave Florida. And it just comes down to like experiencing different things.
Do you know where you want to go?
I'm really open to anything. I'm open to leaving the United States. I'm open to going to different places. So it's just personally, like, I like to travel and I just want to experience different things. But I definitely want to give back to the community, which is why I'm going to be staying in 2020. But after, like, you know, I go and experience the world, coming back home to Miami, like, you know, my hometown where I grew up, I definitely want to come back and, like, give back. But I think that going outside of Miami, going outside of Florida will teach me and give me experiences that I just wouldn't only get here.
I will agree with you. That is a good point. Thank you so much for sharing. Appreciate it. Come on up.
Hi, my name is Tamika Jean Charles. I'm a junior here at FIU. I study currently journalism. For me, I was born and raised in Florida. I was born in Pompano Beach, raised in Naples, and came here for school. So I'm kind of tired of Florida, to be honest. Like, I've been here, I've kind of seen like different kinds of people, and like I definitely like do admire like South Florida's diversity, because one of my, like, my family's Haitian, so like being a part, being so close to a lot of Haitian people is kind of like welcoming. But I also, I've always been one to kind of want to go out and experience other cultures, other people, and I've always imagined myself, all right, when I'm older, I'm gonna live in New York, I'm living in Boston, I'm living in Chicago, because I want to be able to, like, once I have done it, but not just to be cool, but just to like experience it and kind of experience different cultures and kind of like get a more diverse worldview on things.
And by the way, and that, no, that's a good point. And just out of curiosity too, I always hear people say, if I'm going to go somewhere else, they want to go to New York or Chicago or a big city. What if an opportunity came up in Boise, Idaho, or, you know, Austin, Texas, or Portland, Oregon?
See, if you had asked me like 5 years ago, I'd be like, nah, I'm still going to New York. But now, kind of like understanding my career more, especially with journalism, like, I'm going to take whatever I get. So if an opportunity presents itself in Boise, Idaho, or like Salt Lake City, I'm going to go. Like,
okay.
I'm going to go wherever. Yeah. So, but I like Florida. I know my family still lives here. But I definitely see myself somewhere else.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing. Yes, career in journalism will probably take you to a lot of places. I can attest to that, having been to a lot of different cities. We're going to take a quick break here. Again, we are broadcasting today, Sundial Live, from the main campus of Florida International University. We're talking with a group of recent grads and some administration about what happens next, what comes next, and we'd love to hear from you. You can always give us a call, 866-247-9576, or you can just post your comment or question on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. We'll be back more on Sundial. Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Again, we're live today from Florida International University, talking with the recent graduates and some of the faculty and staff here at FIU about what is next for a lot of these folks. What's next after you finish school? Some people are going to continue school. Other people are heading out into the job market. And by the way, if you are one of those grads, what's that job market look like right now? The market looks good, right? The economy is supposed to be strong. Tell us what you're finding that's out there. Also, tell us how you're looking for it. I had this conversation with my younger producers. I know I'm the older guy, but back in my day, there wasn't an internet. So job hunting was a very different thing. Call in 866-247-9576 or find us on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. Again, talking with our graduates, Joseph Burns, Olga Betancourt, Adrian Figueroa, and Apriya Williams. Also joining us is Dr. Elizabeth Behar, Senior Vice President of Academic and Student Affairs, and John Nicolasian, Director of Business Career Management. Now, we heard from some of our audience just a moment ago about students who want to leave after they finish. They want to get out of Florida. They're tired of Florida. They want to see the world. Mr. Nicolasian, you wanted to respond to that.
Something that I thought was really awesome, and I hear this with the students that we counsel in business, and it's also part of the job search strategy today, pre-internet, to the point you made earlier. You need to go where you're wanted. And the great thing about FIU and the students that we serve, and that the talent and the diversity of talent that we have here, the diverse talent pool, really gives the students an opportunity to go to places where they're needed. And that's one of the things we talk about in our counseling sessions, is where do they need you? In South Florida, you are one of many. But if you're going to go to, as you had said, Boise, you're in demand. So go where, I mean, it's the business person in me. I got to do supply and demand. But go where you're in demand. Go where you're wanted, because finding a job will be a lot easier in that area. And it's great to hear that the students are embracing that.
You know what? The other thing, too, is this. I wondered, like, how the alumni networks help the students. You know, what do they offer in helping them? I imagine just networking, or just at least making contacts.
So that's another great thing about the, when you're in certain cities that have very strong alumni networks, and even grassroots networks. So New York City has a great alumni network, and when we take students up to New York to visit, the alumni come out and kind of guide them and help them. Atlanta's the same. We've got pockets of students in the Midwest and in Detroit, and there's informal alumni networks that are part of employee resource groups at the organizations, and they're helping the students. There's not a lot of Hispanics in Detroit, so when they're in beautiful Detroit, they make them feel welcome, they make them feel at home. And it helps with not only recruitment, but the other half of the coin, which is retention.
You know what? I wanted to come to this idea, and I posed the question. Everybody, anybody who's graduating, I wanted to know your thoughts of what the. I want to know what the job market looks like right now, and what you're finding, or not finding. How you're looking too, by the way. This is. I thought this was an interesting point too. Is just how many different places you can go to find those jobs. And from the panel, Adrian, I'll start with you. I mean, you're continuing school, but you know, for a scientist, you know. Would you just go on LinkedIn? Just go on Facebook? How do you? Where are the jobs? And what does it look like right now?
Yeah. So for just like environmental sciences as a whole, it's much more different than getting onto Indeed or LinkedIn or something like that. There's these specific websites like Texas A&M Job Board is a good one. So is USAJobs.gov. There's different websites where like professors from different institutions and even researchers from government and non-governmental agencies, they'll actually put up postings for biological technician jobs, like either temporary or permanent positions. So you just have to like look at the right place and just reach out to mentors and professors at your institution.
Aprio, a moment ago, you told me that, you know, the theater world is a small world. So I'd imagine it's not hard to find those jobs and those people, though, right?
It's not, because since it's small, it's a community. So yes, I do look online, but I also, once you meet people, we often have conferences where we all meet up as a group, and you know, you hear about jobs through that, or you meet someone, so you're looking for a job and you give a phone call. Do you guys need someone over there? Is there any positions available? Or we can go to our professors and talk to them about any jobs that they may know of. So it's small. But it's so once you're connected within that community, you're pretty much in, you know, if there's something open, if that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
People will reach out to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
They do. Even on Facebook, you can see someone posting about it.
Dr. Behar, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, as an institution, part of our responsibility in this new world, as you said, with internet and technology, we're actually bringing industry to the students, right? So we want our students from day one to experience significant positive relationships with various industry sectors here on campus. We want them to have internships, whether short-term or long-term, internship experience, so that as they're accumulating their knowledge in the discipline, they can also then make a more informed decision of whether Boise, Idaho, or right Valencia, California is a good fit for them.
You know, that's something else too, Mr. Nicolasian. Universities are working with companies, and this also opens those opportunities for students to get training with those specific companies. That also opens up for jobs afterwards, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the goal of the internship is to go and convert to a full-time hire. Some firms will use it as a strategy, as their entry-level recruiting strategy. They'll bring in the pool of interns and then it ultimately convert the ones that they want. There's multiple entry-level recruiting strategies. That's the easiest and the lowest hanging fruit.
Yeah. Again, find us on Twitter or Facebook at WLRN Sundial. We'll get some of those comments here in a moment. Also, you can call us in 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-9576. We'd love to hear from you, whether you're a graduate, you're about to graduate, or you're a parent, and you're wondering, well, what should happen next? What is coming next? Let me come over here to Alejandra Martinez, our producer. We're getting some comments right now.
Yeah, Raul Mendez on Facebook said, I graduated 2 years ago, got a job in Tampa when I graduated. Now I'm in Wisconsin in a really good job. Good luck, recent grads.
Wow, Wisconsin. All right.
Yeah. And then we have Jessica from Twitter, who has a question for Joe. Medical school is incredibly competitive, expensive, and requires years and years of training. Did you ever feel like giving up? Are you afraid of debt?
Thank you for the question, Jessica. So yeah, that was a loaded question, and everything you said is true. It is competitive. It is a long time, and it is expensive. Fortunately for me and for all of my colleagues, medicine is unquestionably an extremely noble profession. And when you commit wholeheartedly and are willing to sacrifice whatever it takes to reach the epitome of this profession, which is the physician, which we all hold so near and dear to our hearts and have helped us and our families through such difficult moments, that intrinsic motivation very rarely fails. So that said, if you're truly committed to the study of medicine and truly committed to the profession, I have no doubts in your ability to relent through all of these challenges.
And I'm curious. I mean, you know, it sounds like no matter what, this is what you want to do. I don't know if you've ever run into any of your classmates who are also, I mean, you're talking about six figures of debt.
Yeah.
That you're ready to take that on because you may carry that for decades.
Sure. And that said, it's unavoidable, right? The medical education is tremendously expensive, and I've been very fortunate to be the recipient of several scholarships through Florida International University, but that's not to say that I'm debt-free by any means. However, by being proactive about it and really understanding all the available options that have been presented to us, not only from our own offices of financial assistance, but by doing your own literature review and trying to find some other options, it can be done. And I think that by being proactive and being really on top of your debt management instead of avoiding it, I mean, it's easier to put that six-figure number in a closet and forget about it somewhere, but you have to be aware of these things and have to be very diligent about paying it back and understanding your own approach to do so. That said, it's a massive number, but it can be done.
Yes, I can attest to that. I do believe that. Again, 800-743-9576. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about debt. How many people in the audience, students, you're carrying debt, loan debt? Okay. All right, quite a few. And for our panel, how many of you are not?
Oh.
Okay, Adrian, how'd you do it?
I've been very fortunate that my grandmother and my parents, they ended up purchasing for like my two brothers and myself, the Florida prepaid a college plan, and like that really helped us. But on top of that, I also, like Joe, I ended up going out of my way to be proactive, like about seeking scholarships and stuff like that. And I've also been very fortunate to participate in internships that have also helped like fund some of my education along the way. So.
Dr. Behar and Mr. Nicolasian, this is for you as well. You know, what is that conversation like with a student when they come to you and say, I understand how important this is and I want to study this, but at the same time, I'm looking at 50, 60,000 more that I'm going to carry with me afterwards. And that's that could go for years, and it's going to get in the way of a lot of things. Not to be the, you know, the pessimist here, but it can get in the way of other things you want to do later in life.
Absolutely. So we start that conversation actually much earlier than even with our freshmen. We talk about it with our high school partners and college admissions advisors. We have a program called Raise.me, which is a national program we participate in, and students can begin in high school as early as, I think, eighth grade, begin amassing grant money towards their university experience. So we're working from pre-day one to mitigate debt. Our current, less than half of our students, we're very proud of that in the state of Florida and at FIU, less than half of our students graduate with debt. And that average debt of the students that do graduate is approximately $19,000, which is well less than the national average. We also, as Joe mentioned, we have offices of financial assistance. We have programs of financial literacy. So we're educating students as they're taking on this debt that sometimes short-term debt might be a better strategy. So there is actually national research that says if you go full-time, take on a little bit of debt, you might graduate a year earlier, get into the workforce a year sooner, and that long-term actually is a more financially sound approach.
If anybody in the audience has any questions about their student debt, I'd love to hear it now. Please come on up to the microphone. But and again, the number is 800-743-9576. If you have questions about student debt, I want to know how you've dealt with it. Maybe you've paid it off, and you could share with us how you did that. Again, 800-743-9576. Mr. Nicolasian, though, you know what? I wondered, it's how many students really understand the debt, understand the finances? You know, it's not something that we're necessarily taught. Maybe they are teaching it now, finally, in high school, but they didn't for a long time.
Well, you know, we see and have that conversation when we're talking to students about going to graduate school and going to graduate business school. And, you know, we'll get students in our office that are thinking about it and weighing their options. Do I go out into the workforce for 2 years? Do I, you know, transition right from my undergrad to my grad degree? And at that point, well, with every type of conversation we have, we always want to be very real and very truthful and explain to them that, look, you're going to be taking on debt. This is, you know, if you're going to put off life for 2 years, it's an expensive proposition. I feel that if we don't have that an open and honest conversation about it, we're doing them a disservice. So I know my team, we're very good about that. Our recruiting team is wonderful about that as well, too. And it is true. It's finding that right balance between getting the job or having a job and going to graduate school full time and balancing all of that out. It is a tricky proposition. It can be done, and we have great students that do that. But it is a very real situation today.
You know what? Do you ever run into students who again say maybe I want to continue school, and you know that they're really not committed, and you're just you're thinking you got to be thinking you're just going to add more debt. Just why?
You want me to say something I'm not going to say? No,
that's all right.
No, actually, what I'm thinking is okay. How are we going to get them employed? I mean, really, my concern is all right, I know you're putting off life for 2 years or you're afraid to be an adult. It's a different conversation. Those are symptoms of something else. Our goal is, okay, what are we doing? How can we help you? What's causing this career pain or this fear of going out into the world of work? And how do we mitigate that?
We did get a caller who didn't want to go on air, but they did ask this question, whether grads take into account Florida's low wages and high cost of living. It is expensive to live here. That also goes back to the idea of staying or leaving. But I don't know. Is that something that any of my panelists here think about? Go ahead, Joe.
I'm not sure I completely agree with the comment, because when you take into consideration the lack of state income tax in Florida, it's truthfully an extremely attractive place for a lot of high earners to live. And that said, I think that relative to other major cities in the United States, the cost of living in Miami is significantly lower. I will agree that cost of housing is perhaps not necessarily equitable compared to other markets. However, when you look at all the other resources that are available to you, living in South Florida, living in the state of Florida is rather affordable compared to a lot of other major markets.
Olga, you've lived here for a while, and now you change careers.
Yes, and everything is really expensive. I think, the housing is, super expensive. But I want to stay. So.
When you made the decision, though, to change careers, you know, there was the risk that you'd have to go back to the bottom, start at the bottom, work your way back up.
Exactly.
Which means lower income.
Lower income. I still wanted to take the chance because I wanted to fulfill my dream. But now that I'm getting paid, I'm looking at the difference. You know, I was making almost $40 an hour. And now I'm not even $9 an hour. So it's a huge, bridge.
How are you doing it?
My husband. That's an honest, answer. Yeah, he's paying for most of it.
But you guys had that conversation knowing that this is going to be part of the path for a while.
Exactly. And I have a problem with the student loans and all of that, because when I started college again, his company closed. So our income was high, so I didn't qualify for any student loans or anything.
Yep.
But then his company closed, so it was a really tough moment. So it was horrible. I didn't get any, not even $1 from nothing to go to school. I had to make, loans, personal loans, and in order for me to pursue.
What about for your daughter?
Nothing. We've been paying out of pocket.
Again, we are broadcasting today, Sundial, live from the main campus of Florida International University. We're going to take one more quick break. Come back. We'll take some of your calls. We'll take some of your comments. Again, talking with some recent grads here about what the next step is in their life now that they finish school. What's next for you? 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-9576. 9576. Find us online at WLRN Sundial on Facebook or Twitter. We'll be back right after this here on Sundial. Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Again, live today from the Graham Center at Florida International University, talking with a group of recent graduates, Joseph Burns, Olga Betancourt, Adrian Figueroa, and Apriya Williams. We're also talking with Dr. Elizabeth Behar, Senior Vice President of Academic and Student Affairs, and John Nicolasian, Director for Business Career Management here at FIU. And again, talking about that question of what happens next for graduates, and we'd love to hear from you. We've got a couple of calls we're going to take here in a second, but we'd love to hear from you, 800-743-9576. If you are a recent graduate, maybe you graduated a year ago. What was the job like? Job search like? You know, what's out there? Did you stay in South Florida? Are you looking to get out and go somewhere else? Also, tell us about your student loan debt situation. I want to start by going to our phones, and we're going to start with Carl in North Miami Beach. Let's see. I've got this click here. I get this right. I will get this right. Carl, welcome to the program.
Hello. Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead, Carl.
I was calling because, my situation, I went to high school in North Miami Beach, and when I graduated, I went to school at the Savannah College of Art and Design in Georgia. It was an art school and a fairly expensive art school. I switched over to the school, and when I turned 24, I was told there's a law that says until the age of 24, your
parents. All right, it sounds like Carl?
Yes.
Sorry about that. It seems like the phone call is coming in and out. I apologize. We'll try real quickly if you can. Just do you have a comment or question?
One second. Okay, so
you gotta love technology.
So here, I'll
go ahead.
I'll simplify it. There was a law that affected me, and then I later on found out it affected my other friends. When you turn 20, until the age of 24, your parents are responsible for education. So they wouldn't allow me to get in-state tuition in Georgia, even though I'd already been going to school there and working there for about 3 to 4 years. So the consequence has been when I dropped out and waited till I was 24, my loan debt got in the way of me reapplying. I basically can't go back to school until I finish paying off my loan. So I was wondering if there was any extra information on that situation about the age of 24. So...
Real quickly, Carl, is you're a Florida resident. You were trying to get in-state in Georgia?
Yes, I had been going to school in Savannah, Georgia, and I was at the age of 22 at that point. So I'd been going to school there and working there for about 3 to 4 years.
All right. Well, hold on one second for us, Carl. You know what? Either Dr. Behar or Mr. Nicolaitan, I mean, I have not heard of this. Have you ever heard of this? A law like this?
No. So off the cuff, I'm happy to do some research and connect Carl with one of our professionals in our Office of Financial Assistance. But off the cuff, I'm not familiar with the reciprocity between Florida and Georgia.
All right. And Carl, do you know exactly what that law is?
Well, what happened was I was going to Armstrong Atlantic State, and I'd been going into the financial office to see my counselor like every day to figure out how I can make tuition cheaper for myself, because they wouldn't give me in-state tuition. I was like, well, I thought to get in-state tuition, being an adult already, I needed to work in the state. I was going to school in the state. I was renting a house in the state. But they still refused to give me in-state tuition because they said my parents, you know, I wasn't emancipated or anything. I'm not an orphan. My parents still, by law, apparently have financial
responsibility
for my education.
Let me do this. Carl, I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to take your information, and what we're going to have to do, we're going to have to dig into this, because I'm going to be honest with you. This is something new for me. And it may just be that you were trying to get in-state tuition in another state. I know most states have rules as to how long you must be a resident to be able to qualify for that. So we'll just get your information, and then I will dig in and see what that is all about. But I apologize about that. I think you should be able to get financial aid pretty much anywhere anyway, even if you are carrying debt from another student loan. Real quickly, I think I've got an audience member here who has a question or comment.
Yeah.
Come on up real quick to the microphone. Introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Eduardo Garcia, and I have a question about if living in Florida, were you pushed away from the language barrier and need to have mastery of Spanish, or just by moving out of state, you didn't have to like have that penalty of not knowing Spanish or not being fluent in Spanish.
So we did it. So you're talking about being fluent in Spanish here in South Florida?
Yeah.
But I don't want to make a mistake in what you're asking, though. What exactly is it you're asking about that?
I'm asking if you didn't know Spanish, was that a factor in your decision to leave Florida?
Oh, I see. I got you. All right. For any of the panelists, if you didn't have a mastery of Spanish, if that has any role in you deciding whether or not you wanted to leave or stay in Florida. because maybe you moved to a state where there aren't a lot of Hispanic speakers, as Mr. Nicolasian had mentioned a moment ago. Go ahead, Apriya.
I have noticed that a lot of jobs, they do want you to be able to speak Spanish and English, and I do not speak fluent Spanish. I know like a few words, but I do not speak Spanish. So that was something very interesting for me. It didn't necessarily push me away because in my field, I don't find that much where you need to be able to speak Spanish and English, but I'm pretty sure other people like myself, they would probably move away because they just can't do it.
That is an interesting point. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. As we finish up here, I'll try to get another call in here in just a second, but Dr. Behar, I'll start with you. What are you telling students early on in their college career as to how they should approach college, what to get out of this, you know, so they get to this stage now where they're graduating, doing what they want to do?
Sure. Well, with advances in technology, with the accelerated pace of change, everything that's happening to all industries, right, from medicine to technical direction to the sciences, what we tell students is to have a growth mindset. You've seen some examples of that here today. We tell students, do the best you can, right? Leave as many doors open as possible. Be willing to experience as much. We anticipate. When we work with our faculty, we tell faculty, particularly in the academy, that work is no longer a four-letter word, right? Usually, or historically, when you and I went to school, you know, you did your education and then you went to work. Now we're blurring the lines and having conversations about working, earning, and learning simultaneously. And what we know is even if you graduated a year ago or 2 years ago, technological advancements are going to require you, perhaps not to be a full-time student, but certainly to be a lifelong learner, because we're all learning the next new app, the next new coding language, right? The next new industry revolution. So we're encouraging our students to have that mindset from day one.
Mr. Nicolasian, what are you telling students as they leave? What advice do you give them?
So to echo Dr. Behar's point, you are, while you're also doing all of those things, you're also networking. And it's important to constantly remember to build your network. I mean, this is advice that's been out for years. You know, build your network before you need it. And it's incredibly true for students, and especially in some very interesting professions such as the theater or the life sciences, or even in medicine or journalism. It's important to know that when you're looking for the next opportunity, I would probably put good money on the fact that it's not going to be from an internet posting. It's going to come from somebody that you know, somebody in the space, somebody that you've networked with.
I would hope that they're already good at networking. I know they're up on social media a lot better than some of us. I'm going to go through you guys real quickly here. Apriya, I'm going to start with you. If you could go back and talk to your freshman self, what would you tell her?
I guess for me personally, I'm very hesitant when it comes to trying new things because I fear that I'm not good enough. So I guess I would tell myself it's okay, like just continue trying and working at it, which I eventually did, but I wish I wasn't always so afraid to like jump in as fast as I probably could have.
Have a little more courage.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's good advice. Adrian, you talk to your freshman self. What do you tell them?
I would say to get comfortable being uncomfortable, because usually when you put yourself in a position where you feel uncomfortable, it's if you put yourself in that position, oftentimes it's for your own betterment professionally, like giving a poster presentation at a national conference or something like that. Taking the steps to put yourself in uncomfortable situations where you'll eventually benefit from those decisions.
Get uncomfortable. That's good, too. All right, Olga.
Remember that I have two careers.
Yes,
so you
did.
Am I talking to the 19-year-old?
Let's talk to the one who decided to get out of her career and start a new one.
Actually, what I did, and I'm really proud of it, I took leadership. So I encourage like the students to take leadership and go for it. That will be something, because I volunteer for it to be the president of the National Association, and through that I got the opportunity that I'm now, you know, working on. So leadership to me, that will be something to persuade and to do.
All right, Joe. What about you?
So reflecting on my last 8 years of higher education, I think that the most valuable experiences I've had have been outside of the classroom. That by truly immersing myself in my community and working towards the greater good with various service organizations, I've been able to really make an impact and learn a lot about myself and the people that I serve. And so that said, I think I would tell my younger self to really get lost in the community and work to support others who might not be able to support themselves, because those lessons still ring true far more than any lecture, any book. So the experiences you've had with your neighbors.
We heard today from Joseph Burns, Olga Betancourt, Adrian Figueroa, and Apriya Williams. We also heard from Dr. Elizabeth Behar, Senior Vice President of Academic and Student Affairs, and John Nicolasian, Director of Business Career Management, again here at FIU, to the panel. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And just to finish up, I just want to say that's our program for this Tuesday, May 7th. Again, thank you so much to everybody here. Thank you to FIU for the invitation. We had a great program. I really appreciate it. I'm Luis Hernandez. For all the team, thank you so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.